Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, welcome everybody to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Thank you guys for another day of being here. Thank you all for hanging out. Ladies and gentlemen, we are 4,807 people deep. I don't know where you're coming from. I'm going to say this again, but thank you very much. We hope that everything we're doing out here, all the things that we're out there researching and trying to bring to you for information and to try to help you guys get a forum so that you can vent out your frustrations or talk about what's in your neighborhood, get your points across, and actually maybe we can all get together and make a difference. However, the last 3 days of this week has been about this highly profiled Trayvon Martin's killer case, the People versus George Zimmerman. And we will be getting into that tonight. So before I get started with my early break song, I want to have the opportunity to say thank you to Barry Mason and Track One Entertainment, formerly of Kiss FM, now with iSoul Radio. Thank you to Stephanie Hammond-Tillett and Marcia Morgan for and Simply Sensational Incorporated as being our affiliates, helping us along with, you know, promoting our material, helping us with content and putting things together here. I want to thank the young lady that inboxed me and let me know that the show has been doing some major differences for her, or at least some minor positive ones, because that is our goal. And I want to thank the two market people that called me and said that they appreciate their market postings on our show. So I want to let every one of you know that we are definitely upset with the case. We are definitely all engrossed in this case. But tonight's angle on this case is going to be, how do we feel this case will affect race relations? How do we feel? Now, yesterday and the day before, we were making it very clear we didn't want to incite anybody to riot. Okay? But it's more than that. We don't want people to walk out and be as ignorant as the person on trial right now, as ignorant as the disease he carries. We want people to understand that through our anger, we need to unify. So when I come back from the break, and the most appropriate song that I think applies to this is one that I've been playing for all of our controversial topics, is Mr. Jadakiss and his song Why, because he touches on all the controversies that nobody wants to talk about. So I'll be back in four after the break.
Survive. I'm so glad as it relates to across America. Survive and now get on.
Dead real. Yo, why is Jadakiss as hard as it gets? Why is the industry designed to keep the artists in debt? And why them dudes ain't riding if they party a set? And why they never get it popping but they party to death? Yeah, and why they gonna give you life for a murder? Turn around, only give you 8 months for a burner. Going down, why they selling people CDs for under a dime? And if it's all love, daddy, why you come with your nine? Why my homies ain't get that cake? Why is the brother up north better than Jordan that ain't get that break? Why you in stock instead of trying to be fly? Why is ratting at an all-time high? Why are you even alive? Why they kill Tupac and Chris? Why at the bar you don't take straight shots instead of popping Chris? Why them bullets have to hit that door? Why did Kobe have to hit that raw? Why he kissed that raw? Why? Why you around them cowards? Why Aaliyah have to take that flight? Why my homie D ain't pull out his Ferrari? Why he take that bike? Why they gotta open your package and read your mail? Why they stop letting brothers get degrees in jail? Why you gotta do 85%? when the pecan jag. Why they crack have to hit so hard, even though it's almost over? Why people can't get no jobs? Why they come up with the witness protection? Why they let the Terminator win the election? Come on, pay attention. Why sell in the stores what you can sell in the streets? Why say the hottest shit but be selling the least? Why? A white man popper to get an Oscar. Why Denzel have to be crooked before he took it? Why they didn't make the CL6 with a clutch? And if you don't smoke, then why the hell you reaching for my Dutch? Why rap? Cause I need airtime. Why be on the curb with a wild lie? I need a bear sign. Why all the young brothers is dying? Cause they moms at work, they pops is gone, they living with iron. Why they ain't give us a cure for AIDS? Why my diesel have fiends in the spot on the floor for days? Why you screaming like it's a slug, it's only the hawk? Why my buzz in LA ain't like it is in New York? Why they forcing you to be hard? Why ain't you a thug by choice? Why the whole world love my voice? Why I try to tell them that it's the flow, son? And you know why they made the new 20s, cause I got all the old ones. That's why.
All that I've been given is the same.
Everybody to the On the Edge show. That is my song, people. I love that song for everything that it stands for the courage that it took for him to write it and to continue to play it and sing it and distribute it out there. I love it. You know, not to mention it's a very skilled song from two great talents. So, moving right along to this trial tonight. Our third day of speaking on the George Zimmerman trial, and today's angle I really want to focus on is the effect on race relations that this trial will have, if any, by your thoughts. My fears, and definitely something I keep trying to advocate against, is riots. We don't want anyone going out there thinking that it's okay to riot because you're angry about something that is happening during the trial, or should the outcome not be what we want it to be. That is definitely not the way that we're going to get anything at all done. Okay? That's not the way that we need to be telling them that this is the way we express ourselves. Not the way that we want people to think that is our sole means of communication. We are a smart people. We are more resilient, resourceful people. There's no way we need to sit here and... Someone just sent me. Okay. I'm sorry. All right, Mo. There's no reason for us to be out there making people think that the only thing that we are able to do when we're upset with something is to riot, and then to riot within our own neighborhood, or to go out there and hurt other people, because that's what this man did. So I want to take a minute and speak on what we saw today as I'm waiting for our panelists to join us. One of the things that we saw were the cops that answered the call, the physician that treated Zimmerman, the neighbor who was called in for the prosecution but wind up sounding more like a defense witness, who seemed to be more concerned with being on TV or part of the race, the big sensational trial, than he was about actually doing his part for justice, either way, from by either side account that he said he saw. However which way his account was leaning, he didn't do it for the sake of justice, and we're all aware of that. Tonight, I don't want the panelists to come in just focusing on the racism part, because that part at this moment, that part is as blatant as they come, and unfortunately, this is not one of those situations, as I said a couple of days ago, this is not one of the situations where we have to start saying, well, let's give this person the benefit of the doubt, because the doubt has been lifted. This child was killed because his killer was a racist who disliked blacks and found every one of them suspicious. And from the way that it's looking and all of the evidence that's coming out, it sounded more like this was a plot in motion for some time. And Trayvon just happened to be the unlucky child that was there. So, tonight, as I said, we want to speak on how we think this trial will affect race relations. How will it affect race relations? I want to not just touch on riots. I want to speak about people, that there's been people who are of different races and cultures that are all friends. Will this now be a problem for them to deal with those friends the same way? Will it affect friendships? It should not, because it wasn't you two that was involved with, as a culprit and a victim in this case. But do you think it will get that far? That's one. How are we going to move forward despite our anger from what may come or what may not come? Despite our disdain for injustice or for a slow justice system, how will we go out into society and be able to show those that want to vent their frustrations out a different way? How will we go out there and stand our ground against rioting, against build up prejudice, against repeating the same thing that George Zimmerman did that night, only with a gun? How will we be able to make a difference and not allow new prejudices to fester or build up new things from an old, learned, not behavior, but understanding about racism, about differences, about cultural, it should be diversities, but it's apparently becoming adversities. So how do we make a difference? Even now, before there's any outcome of this trial, do you think now race relations are affected because of the trial's in motion? I was reading an article today about previous details in the case today, and it was really sad. The photos that they're showing now of George Zimmerman, with the protruding swelling in the side of his nose, with these horrendous bleeding cuts, with all of the things that he has now, which there's too much of a discrepancy in the timing that it took from him to be actually photographed fresh at the scene to the time it took him to actually arrive at the doctors. And then finally they said, we'll allow some pictures to be taken and shown to the press. We all know that. But reading all of the medical people involved in this, the discrepancies, it's almost a joke. It's like they know the paperwork is going to prove certain things against George Zimmerman, crucial things, but the defense is going along and just making sure that, you know what, we're going to do this defense anyway. We're going to stretch this out anyway. And they know the proof is right there. But apparently the smugness or the blatant disregard or this man's rights need to be defended to such a way where to hell with everything else that took place. To hell with the fact that there was a kid crying for help. To hell with the fact that this kid's parents are sitting and they're listening to the last moments of their kid screaming his head off and the shot that goes off to end that told them your son died right then. To hell with the fact that everybody is talking about how this kid was only 17. And now everybody is going to start losing friendships over this because one person wants to have an opinion and don't want the other person to feel a certain way. But meanwhile, it's not about either or. It's about the fact that what's sitting in front of you is a dismissive man, if I can call him that, who committed a horrendous act and has not a damn bit of regard for it. Simply because he doesn't like something that's different from him. Because he's carrying a disease of ignorance. And while ignorance is supposed to be harmless, it can be very damn dangerous. Panelists will be joining us. I want to take a small break to give Trayvon and his family some honor and a tribute here. Yesterday I played this tribute song from Chaka Khan and Friends. I want to play it again. To the Martin family, we're all feeling this. And we on the Ed Show and our panelists and our team are definitely out there trying to honor your son's death by not allowing it to get to the point where we all start thinking like the man that took your baby's life. He did nothing wrong except come to a neighborhood that did not understand that he was a person. Regardless of the defense saying that this man was fought back or Trayvon stopped to ask him why he's following him, that would be anybody's reaction. If they didn't run, they're going to stop and ask why you follow me if there's a problem. This is Trayvon Tribute by Chaka Khan and Friends. I'll be back in 4 minutes, people.
Genocide of Clear Kill, Love Him, and Eric Benet.
I'm Tom Payne.
I'm Kenny Ladd.
I am Wendy.
I am Kevin Frey.
I am Eva. I am Bridgetta Jackson.
I am Karina Calderon.
I am Chloe Barclay.
I'm Chris Spencer.
I am D-Ray.
I am Kimberly.
I am D'Angelo.
I am Denise.
I am Desiree Rochelle.
I am Hits from the Street.
I'm Trayvon Martin. I'm Akil Barnes.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody. That was the Trayvon tribute song by Chaka Khan and friends. It included people like Angela Bassett and her husband, Courtney B. Vance. They had Terry Crews and his wife. I've seen quite a few other very high-profile artists, singers, people who are not singers but are artists. So you can check it out on YouTube. Tonight's topic. We're continuing our trial talk about the George Zimmerman trial. And we have had quite a bit of very active panelist discussions here about the situation. We have spoken about the racial saturation that's going on in this trial. This is not one of, and no, listeners, I am not a conspiracy theorist. I'm telling you that this is just one of those things where the defense is almost like making a mockery of this poor boy's death. There's such blatant, obvious evidence that there's no refuting it, no going back and looking over the evidence. These are things that are happening that is plain and as day proof that this man went out there with intent to kill. The witnesses that they've allowed to come in for the prosecution, that poor child, Rachel Gentile, she got badgered. And in any other trial, there would have been way more objections. That would have been put to a stop. Half of the questions that they asked her for 30 minutes had nothing to do with either disproving her testimony or proving it, nor did it have any bearing on what happened to Trayvon. How does the defense having to establish whether she was lying about her type of relationship with him or not have to do with the fact that this man killed this boy? How does it take away from the fact that she heard Trayvon speaking on the phone? Now listen, if you want to talk about what came up later with what they tried to point out as discrepancies in her phone bill or in her testimony, that's a whole different story. But trying to get this girl to speak about things that had nothing to do with how Trayvon Martin died, it was unnecessary, it was disrespectful. And it was clearly saying that I'm doing this because you know what? You don't matter to us. But with that being said, we have to take a stand on making sure that the outrage of this case doesn't incite outrage among us once again. Rodney King, when he got beaten and the officers were acquitted, everybody went out and rioted. And then they rioted in their own neighborhoods and blew ourselves up. Not literally. I mean, we broke ourselves down. And how on earth did that make a statement to the people that we felt were unfairly released? If we're destroying ourselves. And taking that aspect out of it, riots don't solve a thing, nor do they prove a thing, nor do they honor a thing. But if we can take that same energy and that same unification and go out there and make a protest, a difference, demand some change, demand some law repeal, demand that certain laws that belong to us don't get altered or changed or eradicated. That will make a difference. That will make this poor boy's death stand for something. Rioting and killing more people won't. Destroying your own internal race structure and neighborhood won't do anything but make them feel that everything that George Zimmerman was thinking about this young black kid is exactly a well-deserved thought. We are smarter than that. How will this trial affect race relations? Let's get out of what the blatant obvious things we are thinking about, like violence. Let's speak about how it may or may not change relationship with friends you have now. People that are of certain race or have certain thoughts or viewpoints about this case, will people start diminishing friendships or breaking off friendships because of what we see in this trial? Will people start looking at a one-for-all and all-for-one angle at people of the Caucasian persuasion or from the Zimmerman type persuasion, or from the gated neighborhoods? Will we all start developing the same ignorance that George Zimmerman had, where we start looking at, you know, if you look like them, you're one of them? We can't let that happen. We can't let that happen. So, one of the things that I was explaining earlier is that there was a link online. I was trying to get back to it. Hence the delay in me speaking. I was looking over a person that had an article about the trial, in the earlier part of the trial, where they released an actual copy of the EMT report showing George Zimmerman's condition, I believe it is, and his state of mind at the time of, I guess, the arrival to the crime scene. And not one medical technician, person, doctor, physician could corroborate any type of injury sustained so seriously as the pictures depict to support that anything took place with George Zimmerman. Now, I'm looking at the gashes in the back of his head. And I'm listening to how he said he sustained those gashes. And I'm listening to every single witness that actually witnessed the actual struggle in the fight that was here. Whether they got a glimpse of it, whether they got a full view, whether they got to see more than the other. Anyone that actually saw the two men all said George Zimmerman was walking just fine after he shot the boys. Okay? George Zimmerman is walking just fine. He's not disoriented. I mean, according to him, he got his head bashed a couple of times on hard cement, right? The least that you're going to be is disoriented or a little fuzzy-wuzzy in the head. This man didn't seem disoriented, dizzy, babbling, staggering. He had no major bumps on the side of his head. How could anybody say that when they first go to a scene that was described as vividly and colorfully as this man put it out there, as intensely as it is, how is anyone going to believe that he wasn't a little more, or no, let me say this. How could anybody not see bruising, swelling, blood, bloody nose, busted nose, if everything that George Zimmerman said happened as intensely as he said it? If everything that other Mr. Good, I believe his name was, said he saw was taking place, why is it that nobody saw these sustained injuries right at the time of arriving fresh to a scene, responding fresh to a call of a crime scene? Why is that? So again, with all of us seeing all of this and all of us having these same thoughts and all of us having these same questions, it still goes back to how are we going to allow it to affect or affect in a bad or a good way our race relations. It goes back to us saying we have to come to a point where despite our anger and despite our blatant outrage, despite what we saw them do, because anybody that would sit there with such blatant, open, yes, I took my pause, everyone. I took my pause, listeners. With everything that we see seeping through this evidence that's saying exactly what it is, how are we going to be able to maintain our composure long enough to take what we are outraged about and not be as ignorant and as heartless as those people that would allow this to go anywhere other than where it should be going, without a doubt? My young people listening out there, those of you that have inboxed me and those of you that have reached out and told me that, you know, you're young and you listen, please understand what I'm telling you. As much as it might seem cool, as hip as it might be to go and tell your friends how you done bashed this person's head in or you did it in the name of, Trayvon is not being honored that way. You going to jail is not going to help our race get any more credit. No one's going to recognize us for the great people that we are if we give them yet another thing to point out in some political fight. Obama is in office. We should be helping to honor him by following in his example and beating the odds. And for all that anger and rage that you have in going out there to go swing a bat, it's time for you to pick up a pen and a sign and go march ourselves in front of some place that matters, a city hall, a congress room, a councilman's office, a leader like Al Sharpton who's saying that he's doing all these things. It's time to make him put his money where his mouth is in certain areas. All those people that we line up on those long ballot lines to go pull a poll lever down or slip in a ballot, that's the people that we need to make them step up and understand that they work for us and that they have an obligation and a condition to the job that they've got in from our votes. That they made promises to make certain changes, and that is a job requirement. So if they're not moving their butts to do what they have to do, our job as the voters is to go over there and make some damn noise and say, guess what? This was an even trade. You keep your end of the bargain for my vote. This is on the list of things that you promised to do. This was the reason why I voted for you. Repeating what I said earlier, I riot, young people, because I was surprised to find out I have a whole lot of you listening in. Riots do not honor this young man that died. Riots will not give you an edge up. Riots is not going to make a difference, because all it's going to do is put you right in the same ignorant hot seat as the dummy that's on trial right now. is going to give you the same class as him, and the people that choose to try to break other people down, to stretch his rights to be defended. Take that anger and the energy that anger brings and the unification mind that you have to all go in a mob and cause a riot and march up to City Hall. If you're 18 and over, march yourselves over to a ballot or a poll and vote a difference in or out. Pay attention to every single leader that affects you and your neighborhood, that affects something that's going to cause your future to be a good one or a bad one. Say no to things that's going to be a bad regression for us. Say yes to things that will make a positive difference. But do not riot. So our question today, our angle for this case, okay, our angle for this case today on our third day of speaking about the trial is how will this trial affect race relations, if at all? And my question behind that is, how will we make a difference in preventing or quelling any negative relations between races over this? We got our first panelist in for the night, so I'm going to bring him in.
Hi, good evening, Ms. Barnett.
How are you,
good evening,
Williams? How are you? Hi,
Liz. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're all hot over this case. So tonight's angle, the question I'm asking is, how do you feel, if at all, that this case will affect race relations?
Well, it's going to damage race relations within the U.S. Quite a bit, especially if this man is convicted and only does anywhere from 5 to 10 years, or if he's not found guilty at all. That would really be a setback. I look at it setting back race relations at least 25, 30 years. And it's not going to be a pretty sight, I don't believe. I'm not one for violence at all, you know. But something like that to just be overlooked. The evidence in the case itself is self-explanatory. I can't see why this type of trial has been dragged out as long as it's been. There's no excuse for it.
That's one of the points that I was making as well. But with regards to race relations, and that's the thing, it's time for us to make a real big difference. And I'm not, by no means, am I sitting here, you know, just being Dr. Martin Luther King, because there's only one of him. But we really got to understand, and I mean, it's not about it wouldn't feel good or, you know, that something won't happen, but we as a race have got to stop giving these people the idea that all we know how to do is look like fools and act like fools. Because that's what they say of us, that we don't know how to communicate, that we don't know how to stand up for our own selves, that we destroy ourselves, that when we riot against ourselves, which made them sit back and laugh. Because when Rodney King, when the cops got acquitted in Rodney King's beating, okay, they didn't riot in the neighborhood of the people who did it. They rioted among themselves. So what all that did was have them laugh even more. And I appreciate it. We all did appreciate what the significance behind the riots were for. But in the end, what exactly did it accomplish? Even to the point where Rodney King himself had to come out and be like, God, y'all, this is too much. You know?
Yeah.
So I was saying to my young listeners out there that this is just not what we want. Race relations have to get. I'm just trying to think.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone can't be in a one size fits all viewpoint for everyone. Everyone can't think that all blacks or whatever racists think black people are. Everybody can't think that all Caucasians are going to be exactly what black people think they are. You know, whatever old history fights or understandings took place, we're at a point and we're in a position where we can make those things be different.
Right.
We can make a difference somehow. Now, with that being said, that's not to say that there's still not going to be people who are George Zimmerman's of the world or the people who are behind him. Just recently, as I was saying in yesterday's panel, I looked up, I found the Trayvon Martin song that Chaka Khan and some high-profile artists, you know, put together for Trayvon. And underneath on the YouTube page, I couldn't believe the 1950s, 40s, 60s, 1800s type racist comments that I was seeing under there, talking about Chaka needs to go back to the 80s with her, you know, dirty Negro self and blah, blah, blah. And I normally find that just, you know, ignorance to ignore, but the things that was coming out their mouth, I replied, and to think I thought the white sheets were put to rest.
Yeah. Well,
it
you know,
like
that's what's
on,
scary.
On that
that's
level.
What's scary about it. Yeah.
That is what's scary about it. So now that's the thing. So there are people out there that still like that. As one of the panelists was saying yesterday, racism in the form of sheets and being able to openly smack a black person in the face, you know, in public and get away with it, it's not that blatant anymore. But the suit and ties and the briefcases,
it's covered up quite a bit, and that's what really makes it scary, because it's not like in your face like years ago the way it used to be. And see, now they'll smile in your face. Say again?
I say, but then again, at the same time, it kind of is.
Because
it may not be, like I said, with the physical backhand, but there are so many other things that is the equivalent, blatant equivalent.
Correct.
You might as well have smacked me with the baton instead. You
right.
know, there are so many things, just like right now, this case. Things like this case. I was watching about how many of these Caucasian witnesses were afforded liberties and courtesies and the allowances and the apologies when a couple of the witnesses, well, one witness in particular, Mr. Good, the neighbor that apparently saw everything, he pretty much was keeping the lawyers in check, both sides. No,
right.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said.
Right.
Nope. No, you got that wrong. You know? Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Jokes, laughs. But they hammered an 18-year-old girl.
Yes. And I was kind of disappointed with that, too, because I felt as though the judge that's running that courtroom lost control. I mean, she shouldn't have let that go as far as it did, because you have to look at it. They're still a young child. You figure when it happened, she was, what, 18 years old?
Right.
I believe. But she's still a child, and she was traumatized from that situation, being the last person to even talk to him on the phone while this was going on. You know, that's going to have a real, real negative effect on their child. So they have to look at that. So.
You're absolutely right, because, you know, I was actually looking, and something hit me as I was watching her toward the last part of the first day she testified. I think that all of the reality of this was hitting her on the stand.
Yeah.
Like, I think she knew all that time before this happened, because she got to play around with dodging this person and saying this to that person and leaving. But I think that yesterday, the reality of the intensity of that situation was hitting her as she was testifying. And then I know somebody got to her after the first day and explained all the rules to her.
Right.
I know somebody explained to her, you can't just get snotty and walk off, because if you walk off, you're a witness in a federal case right now.
Right.
You know, you will go to jail.
Yeah.
And when anybody that she felt she could run to say, you know, to have her back, was saying, no, honey, he's right. You'll go to jail. I think all of that hit a wait a minute. This is serious. I was the last person to hear this man. I'm testifying against the guy who killed him. I said something that maybe I was trying to rush and say, not thinking much of it, but now those are coming out with details like I'm looking like a liar.
Right.
You know, so I think all of that is hitting her at once now. And then, of course, her youngness is coming out in the way she's answering it, because she does not know how to, you know, handle the situation or approach the situation that way.
Correct.
Approach the situation that way, you know, from a legal and professional standpoint. So it's just really sad. But even so, the whole thing is that the blatant racism in this thing, the blatant unjust ways that they're carrying it out. The prosecutor seems to be losing control, whereas in the beginning they seem to be fired up and strong. And it's like, it's not that they're losing control because their witnesses are incredible, are being discredited. It's that the way the defense is doing things that should have been objected to a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm seeing is that this judge kind of is pretty okay, because it's like she doesn't really take nonsense. She definitely commands control with she commands control with, you know, when people are speaking while she's speaking. You know, she lets everybody know she's the boss, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, but she got it together. But I think that if
she finally got it together.
I think if the prosecutor would have opened up his mouth and objected to certain things sooner, this case could be taking a little bit of a better turn for the prosecution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The prosecution's case would have been a lot better. That was my view, my opinion and observation. Okay.
Well, I didn't get a chance to watch today. Did you watch it today?
Yes, I did. I did. I did today. This is where they had a majority of the new witnesses that were coming along. They were interviewing more of the officials that were involved with the crime scene, which were the responding officers, the responding emergency medical technicians, the neighbors that actually saw the fight as it was escalating up to the climax of everything.
Right.
And I believe, and the physician that treated George Zimmerman, I think, on a private basis and on the night of the incident. There is a little bit of a crackling in my mic, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go to break just so that I could figure out what this is and I'll try to fix the glitch. And I'll be back. I'm going to play Marvin Gaye, just to let you know, because this is also a very appropriate song at this moment. So as I can bring him up. Okay. Mr. Marvin Gaye, what's going on? I'll be back in four.
All right.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, we don't need to escalate. See, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket line and picket sign. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On The Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. We are having some bad weather come through here, so ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be affecting, may or may not be affecting, the quality of sound, okay? So just bear with us as our towers are going in and out. And if anybody hears anything, just message me via chat or inbox, and I'll try to, you know, do the best I can to accommodate. Our topic tonight, folks, for those of you that are just joining us, again, is about the George Zimmerman trial, but tonight's angle is, how do you feel that it will or not affect race relations now? And I'm talking not just if the verdict comes back badly, but right now. And then I want to know, what do you think we can do to take what we expect to happen from a bad verdict into what we could make happen? Okay, we have one of our regular favorite guests here joining in the panel with us. I'm going to bring him back in right now, Mr. Deacon Zeddy Williams from Toledo, Ohio. Hi, Deacon, you're back on the air. Are you hearing me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
You made a comment. Yes, you made a comment earlier, and it just made me think, because you mentioned something a little while ago about race relations, and I was just thinking, look at the state of our country right now. We have our federal government, who I consider a great leader, and he's not very well respected within the people that he is working with in our federal government. How do you think that is affecting race relations in this country? When
absolutely,
that speaks volumes for itself. And then you have this case with similar, you know, it's almost identical if you look at it when it comes to race. I mean, we're supposed to be the greatest country in the world. And we're losing respect from other countries because they're looking at us and saying, well, they don't even have a respect for their own leaders, so why should we respect them? So they don't even have it together. You know, so we have to start bringing that back, and the way to do that is with these elected officials, and I have to reiterate on the word elected officials. They seem to have it twisted that we work for them and not the other way around. And we have to slap them in the face with a bit of reality and let them know, you work for us. We voted you in. If you're not going to do some of the things that we feel that needs to be done, we can vote you the heck out of there. You know, we possess the power of the right to vote, and we're not utilizing it. And it seems like we keep letting them getting away with it, and it's like we're sitting back saying, well, okay, they're going to do what they want to do anyway. No, that's only because we allow them to do what they want to do.
And I think that's the other problem. A lot of the younger voters don't even understand what their power to vote actually entails and who they should be voting for. Something the panelist Lou brought up last night. It's not just the president or coming out to show your power because we finally got a black candidate in office. It's really about finding out what those candidates, who the best candidate is for your issues in your community. It is going in there and listening to what the other people are offering and not offering. And then after the vote is over and after we know we've won and our candidate is in, then it's about following up. It's about finding out, are they holding up to their end of the bargain? And if not, why? You're right. In race relations right now, you couldn't have put a better nail on a better head.
Correct.
With our own president. This used to not be, this was a country that was supposed to be based on melting pot and diversity and respect for cultural differences. And now we can't even show that one of the biggest things in the world, which is that an African-American president was in office 2 terms in a row. Regardless of whether you personally like the man or the race, you need to be now quiet and respect it, because he's your leader, regardless of what your personal convictions are about the thing. But the whole point is, like you said, all we're seeing is that everybody is under this table trying to kick themselves for losing the grip on the election, and that person is in there again.
Right.
You know, so let's figure out a way to get him out. Let's find all the dirt we can on him. Let's get the dirt on him. Oh, man, this guy doesn't have any dirt. He doesn't have any dirt. Well, wait a minute. I remember he was standing next to the guy that blew up the other place and had a racial. He was standing next to him in the line. That's something. We could spin that a little bit.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
So race relations, you're absolutely right, is in trouble even before the Zimmerman trial. But the way that this case is going, it's almost a joke. It's a joke to Trayvon, and it's like, we're letting you know, blacks, we don't like you, and look, we're going to wave it in your face. We're going to use the legal system to do it in your face. That's the way it's seeming. So, now with that being said, race relations, somebody has to step up and make a difference. Somebody has to, because the riots are not going to make Trayvon come back, and nor is it going to make his death worth anything.
And that someone that needs to step up is all of us together on a unified front.
Indeed.
It shouldn't even matter whether you're black, yellow, green, purple, brown. It shouldn't even matter. We should be like one hand on a fist.
Right.
And once we start doing things like that, this world would be a lot better off.
We really should be having that melting pot mentality. And if we can't have it with people outside our race, we got to start with us. Because the thing that upsets me often is if you have the power and the unification ability to unite to riot, you should be uniting to protest in front of places that matter to make changes that benefit. Not going out there to destroy yourselves and create more violence while you're protesting violence. You're doing exactly what those cops did to Rodney King to each other. So in this case, do we want a Trayvon Martin riot? Trayvon is not alive to say, can't we all just get along? So we have to try to think right now. I mean, look, we can't blame every white person that's out there for George Zimmerman, because every white person out there don't feel the way he feels.
Right.
Okay, so we have to instill that in our kids, first of all, and in each other. every white person out there isn't a George Zimmerman or the people that funded him to get defended. Yeah. So we have to look at that. We have to stop putting a blanket mentality on everyone. Yeah. Am I mad about what's going on? I'm mad as hell. Do I like what I see? Yeah. I don't like what I see.
Yeah. You know, one thing, the problem that, one thing that we really have a problem with is obeying rules and regulations, too, because in our book of instructions, before leaving this earth, it says, love one another. It doesn't say love one another, but don't love them if their skin is not a certain color, or if they don't speak a certain way, or they don't dress a certain way, or they don't have the upbringing or come from the same side of the tracks that you do. And so either way it goes, you're supposed to love them regardless. And
indeed,
that's not the case in this society today. It's a sad thing, you know. We can all of us that believe that it should be that way, all we can do is just keep lifting it up in prayer, and maybe someday we'll all get it together. We'll all get it together and get on one page.
I was reading, we were talking, and I believe we had a guest that said, if this is supposed to happen, there's nothing you can do about it. And we did bring up the point of whether or not it's destined to happen. As long as we've got breath, we've got an opportunity. As
right.
long as we wake up every morning, we got an opportunity. And that is what needs to happen. Now, race relations need not be affected in a negative way, because that's exactly why this trial is going the way it is. What we need to do is take this here and make a difference. Is it going to be easy? No, change never is.
Yes.
Does us wanting to say that, you know, Mary Jane down the block who didn't do a thing and is nice to us needs to be looked at differently because somebody of her race wasn't convicted for killing somebody of our race? No, that's just as bad as us being upset with white people who look at us as with wearing hoodies and saying, that guy is wearing a hoodie, so he must be a bad person because he's black wearing a hoodie. And if we don't like that being said to us, then we in turn can't say the same thing about everybody that's out there with the same racial persuasion as George Zimmerman, which, by the way, I believe he's Hispanic.
Yeah. Well, did they ever say?
Well, no, but I don't know if his father is adopted or if he just his father has a different last name. But his father is a retired judge, which doesn't help us in this situation because
right.
he's getting all the inside legal scope of everything. That's why he's
right.
looking so. I don't really care to be here. Can you please move this along? Come on, I need some chips. I want something to eat. I want to get out of here. That's the look
mm-hmm.
he has in his face. So what? I'm a bear. I killed a deer. Whatever. It's in my nature. Didn't you people know that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the look he's given. So that makes us more enraged. But we need to take that same rage and go to City Hall and protest that way. Make a riot that way. Mayor Bloomberg has
yeah.
played around with the constitutional rights for the longest. He's played around with Congress rules. He bought himself a third term when everybody gets a bite at the apple twice. He actually made people go in there and actually create a loophole that the United States Congress wrote years ago. So we all know the corruption is there. We all know that the down-low crap is there. But in the meantime, we still got to work with what we have and use it to our best. We need to use what we have to its maximum capacity and stop complaining
Correct.
About the little that we have.
Correct. Yeah.
That's what we have to do. We have to use what we have and stop complaining about what we don't. Because if we still spend all our time talking about the 10% we don't have, we're going to toss the 90% to the wind.
Right.
But rioting teams, I'm not advocating it. I'm not condoning it. I'm telling you right now, I'm totally against it. I'm telling you.
But violence has never been the answer to anything.
We are definitely saying that 100%. Violence is not the answer. And if you go out there rioting, you're saying that you're exactly what George Zimmerman is and the people who are what they are. And that is contingent on the fact that, you know, we're assuming that this might be a bad turn of events based on what we're seeing.
Right.
But the court ain't over till the fat lady sings, and I haven't seen her even step up for mic check yet, so let's keep it together.
Oh, yeah, there's been no mic check yet.
Yeah, so we still got some options and some time. Deacon Williams, anything? Have you seen anything in your area? I know people are talking about it worldwide, so is there, or nationwide, let me say that. So have you seen anything, any escalations of behavior or activity or anything like that in response to the trial?
Well, there's a lot of negative views about what's going on and some negative ideas that I try and persuade them not to even go in that direction. And plus, like I said, I didn't get a chance to watch because I've been in court at a murder trial hearing myself, and it's concerning a family member. So it's been a real trying time for myself. So and to deal, having to deal with this, what's going on with my family, and having to have feelings about this situation down in Florida, it's really weighs heavy on my heart. It really does. And some of the other young people here, they're talking about, well, let's go do this, let's go do that. I said, now, what are you going to get out of that? And you have to live in this community. Why tear up something of your own when there's a different way you can go, another direction you can go and get more positive reaction? You know, you have to look, there's a way about doing everything. You know, violence isn't the answer to anything. It's not the answer. It's just like the situation with my grandson. My family has been threatened, and you know, and then I'm trying to keep some of my family members from going retaliating from some of the people they've received the threats from. So it's really hard. It's a real bad struggle right now.
Yeah, well, one thing that you consistently say, and I could tell you, I agree, and it definitely is that the country has definitely disconnected from its religious roots, and that's something that I think once that happened, a lot of things went crazy. So yeah, God is out of the picture in a lot of ways anymore.
Yeah.
So that needs to be a reconnection. The other I believe, and that's me. I believe first and foremost that definitely is the foundation layer. So if you don't have mm-hmm. that, everything else is going to be pretty shaky.
I can see how people would research certain things, and nobody has really taken the time to research and look back on how things used to be when everybody was more in touch with the Creator and how things were different then. But as soon as you started taking the Word of God out of the schools, basically our judicial system, and out of every other place where they don't allow your children to pray in school. I tell my child, if you feel like you want to pray in school and they have a problem with it, you have them call me. You know, if we don't be careful, the federal government will take that right away from us, that we won't have the right to even pick up a Bible and read it. And we cannot let that happen. You have that situation that's going on in some countries right now, to where they're putting people to death because they want to praise and worship the Creator, and that is really scary.
Indeed it is.
Yeah.
That's one. They did try to remove God from the Pledge of Allegiance, but they didn't succeed because it's still being said. So
yeah.
Moving from there to, you know, now, you know, race. It's not even just black and white, it's Americans versus the Arabs, and, you know, people don't know which dialect or actual country the person's from, so just because everybody looks the same, this has got to stop.
Yes, it does.
This has got to stop. It's got to stop, because now we have the judicial system involved with the race mix-up and the race bull here. Now we have lawyers who's looking at, oh, you mean to tell me it was a black kid? Oh, I'm going to love this one. You know what? I want this case.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can prove, you know, that this person, you know, can get off. Or I want this case because there's not going to be another white guy that's going to get away with this. You know, that shouldn't be the mentality. It should be that this is a case, okay, everybody's entitled to a defense. Then let that be. But for it to be as I'm going to gut you because you're a black man's family and I'm going to gut you because you're a white man killer, and it shouldn't be that mentality behind this. But clearly it is. So we have to go back to what the topic is about. How do we quell the race relations to come, and what is happening now? And but you touched on a very big point. Other countries are losing respect because everybody's so busy trying to get rid of the head, the leader that may not be of their preferred color. Okay, so everybody is trying to find ways to bring down the mighty brown giant that they're forgetting. They have a whole bunch of other people that needs to be led by this man. And he needs cooperation from the people that he's leading.
Right. How is he supposed to handle worldly affairs when he's not getting respect in his own country? So how is he supposed to approach these other countries? They're not going to respect him because they'll look at it and say, well, they don't even respect you in your own country, so what are you coming over here trying to talk to us for?
Exactly.
You know, and that's yeah. I mean, come on. Let's get real now. I mean, there's been some events that have occurred here in the United States. If it had been a white president and somebody would have done that, believe me, they would be sitting behind bars right now.
Or executed.
Yeah.
They could. It's really, and the thing is, I want all of my listeners out there, because actually I got touched on with that today, okay? Just to let you know, I have, you know, those people that were messaging me today about it, stop putting a race spin on this. This is not one of those classic race fights. It really isn't. This is not about, oh, everybody's going to call it a black racial thing, or everybody's going to put, it's about racism. It is about racism, because the only reason why Trayvon is dead is because his killer did not like blacks. He found blacks suspicious. He found blacks unworthy of being able to walk through a shortcut in his gated community. It was all about him. Looking at this boy's race. This is not about the classic everybody wants to talk about racism conspiracies. This is not that.
It was all about his fear.
This is about the ignorant disease that this man is instilled with.
Yes.
I'm definitely not one to walk around finding a race conspiracy in everything that exists or every item that is. But this is blatant and clear as day. There's no way to spin this, see it. And yes, one person that wrote me had a very big point when she was talking to me. And I love her dearly. She was right. She said, it's not about race. I wish everybody would stop putting a race thing on. But understand that it's about a kid that died. Exactly. But exclusively in this case, that kid died because of racism.
Right.
Blatant hatred for a specific race.
Correct.
And I do like the fact that we have to sit here and talk about this poor child as if, you know, this poor child lost his life at 17. When you look at his pictures, he doesn't even look like he owned up to his age.
Right.
So it's sad to look at, just know his age, and it's sad to look at his baby face. And all I'm hearing is the defense trying to paint him out to be the aggressor. He's the aggressor because he was minding his business. He was being followed by a pudgy guy that looked like a freak to him. And, yes, I would be asking the same damn thing. What do you want from me? And then did this guy stop to ask, what are you doing in my neighborhood?
Yeah.
You look suspicious. What are you up to? It went straight to an assault. So did anybody bring that point up? Everybody seems to be passing over the fact that the operator heard this man's progress into following and pursuit. They heard him leave his house. They heard him zip up his jacket. They heard him taking his car keys. They heard the car door jingling when he was getting into it. And all that time, he kept being told to go back in his home. This man was going to kill a black person somehow, some way, and he found Trayvon to be the perfect person for his landing pad. So, yes, it's about racism. Not a conspiracy, not the angry man, the angry million man march people. No, it's not. This is actually racism. It's blatant as day. As a matter of fact, it's like a storybook written out with every piece of evidence that they bring it out for this man. And at the end of it, the tragic results are that a child was killed. But there would have never been a pursuit or a 911 call or a need to do anything if this man already didn't have a living hatred for black people in him already.
Yeah.
The facts are there, the written stuff is there, and that's it. So let's get back to now. How do we take what we already know and put it to positive use? I'll say this again. Teenagers, don't go out there rioting because there's nothing you're going to get from that except jail time, a criminal record, possibly some injuries you probably may not be able to heal from, and somebody could get killed.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you're going to be added on another label, yet another support proof theory for other races to think that we're just ignorant and uncivilized. So go vote when you can vote. Get out there and go and tell your other friends that you want to start a petition and walk to City Hall and make a difference. Maybe you can't. Maybe it won't make a difference right away, but it will be something. Okay, we have a little bit of time. I'm going to go take another break to play the other Trayvon Martin tribute song by Master Def and Mike Flo. Most Def and Mike Flo, sorry. I will be back and forth.
Okay.
Center Police Department, line is being recorded.
Now let's put it all in perspective before the outrage burns out misdirected. What can we do so our community's protected? I believe that should be our main objective. While we full of rage and we want to make a difference, let's do more than protest. Let's make a commitment to be proactive, not just emotional reacting. Move like G's, never passing. Organize state teams, martial arts classes. Get to the gun range and make your aim accurate. Self-defense is a must by any tactic. Security protocol, make it a daily practice. They say I look suspicious, I get it all the time. Pro-black face tatted when they drop dime. Follow me, get on your jack, tell them to come get me. You better get your gun, you be the judge, jury. We gotta make better war moves. Police the pigs, polish our own tools. Fight back, become a force to be reckoned. Let them feel the consequence, pulling that weapon. They do what they wanna do, who they think they can. In a stand, there's no respect for the black man. What's the solution? The ballot of the bullet, G. Give me that pistol, that vote never give us. Free. I tell the young people, go ahead, protest. Petition, ticket signs, citizens arrest. Just know we get war, so get your game face on. Hoodie on, I bomb first, betray on.
I'm tired of the marching, the rally, and the protesting. We hooping and hollering, still we getting no justice. To Daniel Diallo, Bell, Grant, and Trayvon. It's the free mix on your radio station. Turn it up so you could drown out all the media hype. We plot, planning, and strategizing, ready to fight. The government ain't gonna stop it as long as they make a profit off our criminalization. Our people gonna be target. Justin sipping window Allen, who gon' be next? Fuck the talking, get some power, then we get some respect. When I die, don't put me on a shirt, my nigga. Be a revolutionary, make them hurt, my nigga. That's a quote from New York Money, that's my RBD family. Sick man, Mike Flo, most efforts insanity, cause we do the same thing, expecting different results. I'm checking the vital signs, but I ain't getting no post.
Please, a view from a true D
perspective. These mic machines to pose all oppression. Say a point in here to uphold justice, but it get denied, yo, they cheat and they lie, folks. Hate views, fake moves, and wild hostile. Young black world in a struggle for survival. Great stress and effects, disrespect, disconnect. Dirt and wise, these Skittles and nice teeth. Gunshots and blood that break the night breeze. The several point of judgment might be Nazis. Insecurity, identity, doubt. You think that they see a neighbor, they see a villain is out. Instead of answer, it was random police movement and conclusive confusion. The present news clips, callous bullshit. Every talking head is clueless. Many circle channels stupid. Sick in the town, we know it's been that. It's time to fix that for every place we live at. Put in work where we are to change the whack track. They make you holler in the hour where they say that. They shootin', made you die. I act as if the murder innocence is not crime. Killers on the run, watch them and your time's up. Mr. Murderer, where you hiding at? They shootin', made you die. I act as if the murder innocence is not crime. Killers on the run, watch them and your time's up. I hope you hear this, right where you hiding at. Trayvon,
who are you?
Trayvon, Trayvon.
Welcome back to the On the Edge show. Okay, during the break, I got sent something that I didn't even catch on because I was kind of rushing to get into the studio and get everything set up. Don West, one of the defense attorneys, and his daughter and some unidentified female, as they say here, took a picture and was making fun of the girl Rachel that testified, talking about the world. Let me get this tag together. We Beat Stupidity Celebration. Speaking about how the girl was not speaking proper English. We're not proud. Don West says we're not proud of the things our children do, but we love them anyway, and then we move on. Exactly the way Zimmerman is with having killed a 17-year-old boy. Okay? Zimmerman defense team spokesman confirms the photo, says that Molly West is mortified and the Instagram account is closed. Big whoop. Too late. You can't unring a bell, lady. More than ever, it shows just what a biased defense team is out there trying to help this racist dude go out there. So now, once again, we have to stand strong and beat them at their own game, their way. Deacon Williams, you're on the air. You still with me?
Yes, yes, I am. Can you hear me?
The prosecutor, yeah, I can hear you. The defense attorney and his daughter and I guess the wife or girlfriend or someone, I don't know, is on a photograph that his daughter took eating ice cream. And they said, we are eating the We Beat Stupidity Celebration cones. Speaking about Rachel Gentile, the girl that was testifying for Trayvon and how bad she spoke English.
No.
Which I'd love to see how this is going to play out Monday. So while we are on the air, listeners, we will have one more extension of the George Zimmerman discussion on Monday. I'm going to love to see how this one plays out.
Yeah, that speaks volumes for their bit of intelligence for putting something like that out. So.
And then when they say you can't try cases in the court of public opinion, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because this is, you're talking about, you have a prejudice against blacks because you call us savages. You say we're uncivilized. You say we're inhumane. And this is what your children are doing. And then, according to them, Molly West is, and I quote, mortified. Her Instagram account is closed. I wonder if she's mortified by her actions or by the retaliation.
Yeah. That's really, it's a real sad world we live in today. Really is.
The defense attorney.
But we have to we have to stay firm, stand firm, and just keep staying prayer. The word says pray and never cease. We can't stop praying, because if we stop praying, you think things are crazy now. Oh my goodness, I just hate to think what it would be like if we didn't have any people praying at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
If we didn't have people who aren't, racist, that want to make a difference, that are enraged by things that they see. Like I said, it's not a blanket policy for all people. Everything that you think the worst of in one race is not everybody in that race. Or just
right.
Because you've come and encountered a bad side of it doesn't mean everybody's that way. There are plenty of people out there that are upset with the way that they're being portrayed. We are one of them, and I'm sure there's. I've known plenty of people that are out there that are not prejudiced. So to see people be blanketed or grouped up because they happen to be associated by the same color, it's stupid. That's why prejudice is an ignorance disease.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. I just don't know what to say about things sometimes anymore. Sometimes I just feel like I just want to say, oh, the heck with it, and just think about myself. But that would be selfish, and I can't be a selfish person because I never have been. Wouldn't want to start. Say what?
Honestly, a person that's been actively involved with trying to make a difference never really gives up. They really couldn't.
I've been pushing around this big boulder for a long time, so why stop now?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, we have to, because we can't give up, because that's when we get defeated. And the whole thing is.
Oh yeah, we can't give up, because for the people that are no longer here with us, their spirit is still with us. But look what they used to push around when they were out fighting for us to have what we have today. And for us to lay back and not do anything, we would lose all of that. So I could never see myself. So like I said, sometimes I say I think about it, but I could never do it, And I'm pretty sure there are a lot more people out there like me and myself and like yourself and a few other of the panelists that I've had the pleasure of speaking with on your broadcast. And I just like to commend all of them and just help encourage them and tell them, don't give up the good fight. You have to keep on fighting the good fight. Hello? Hello?
Yes, is my mic back in?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay.
Hello?
Can you hear? Hello?
Yes.
All right, you're back in? We're back in?
Yes. Oh, Derek, did you lose me for a second?
No, I think you guys lost me. I think all of you lost me.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
Okay. This trial has brought out, like, heightened feelings and emotions. So we definitely have to, reel back a little bit. Because we have to forget that it's not each other that's on trial or being defended or committed this crime. It's not each other. It's a person who did it to another person. So it's up to us to make a difference and to sit up there and let people know once again that doing what he did is not the answer. We have to take what took place from here, repeal some laws, fight back to get some things reinstated that was taken out, under malicious intent. Empower yourselves by doing what you can do for yourself and being educated in what you're voting for, and then vote, and then follow up. Go out there and let people know that you're not going to take certain things in your neighborhood, because you're all standing together and letting the people who's infracting know. But this is what we have to do. But to sit there and think that going out there and hating your neighbor now because they happen to be of the same color persuasion as the person that you know did something wrong and got off, that's not the way to go.
Right.
Going out there and preaching that, yes, it's time to go get them N-words or get them C-words, you know, that's not the way to go. Because at the end of the day, all you're going to have is more bloody people filling up more courts, doing more trial time to do what?
Yeah.
So your thoughts, your wrap-up thoughts on the trial's effect on race relations. Do you feel that there's a way that we can do something now? Do you think it will make a difference if we all, those of us that are older with a little more, I guess, notches under our belt or years under our belt, think that there's a way we can bring race relations, you know, to a decent level?
Yeah, there's always a way, because where there's a will, there's a way. So I will never give up feeling or thinking that it's something that could be done. And my main thing is that we have to start back pulling back together and doing it together. We can't just do it just one person. One person is not going to get it done. We have to do it on a unified front, and that is very important for people to start working together. We have to start with us, and then just spread out. Let us work like a cancer. You know, let's start spreading and getting this thing done. I mean, come on now. We've come too far to start taking backward steps now. So, you know, everybody has to make an effort and stop giving the lip service. Start walking the walk and stop just talking the talk.
Indeed, that's the one thing that I believe that is our biggest infraction. Everybody has a lot of great things to say, and nobody is backing up anything they're saying. So
that's
the first step. Now, I do believe that I think that we may not be able to stop what other people are reacting to, but I believe that if we can start laying a common foundation, like right now, whereas we can have a discussion with another culture, we can have a discussion with another culture about the anger we have about the way things are going without blaming the person we're speaking to, or letting people see that we're blaming the people that we're speaking to, or we're as angry with them like as if they're the ones that pull the trigger. That's the problem. The ignorance gotta stop somewhere.
Correct.
And that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a lot of that out in the streets now, where everybody is sitting there talking, well, yeah, you people get off with, who are you people? The person you should be upset with is the person sitting behind that defense booth. You know, so that's the one thing that I feel we should do. If we could quell or prevent things here and now outside of the courtroom that have nothing to do with the courtroom, The residual ignorance, I call it, or the exponential ignorance, I call it, where, you know, it starts from one place. It has nothing to do with you, but, like, it's just being spread out simply because. That's the part I feel that if we could do that and we can call that now, then whatever should happen with this case, even if it looks like it's going a certain way, at least all of us would have been strengthened enough to a point where we could stand together and see a different way to react.
Right.
So that's my feeling. And again, teams, and I still see a few of you hanging out there with me. Okay, that's great because I feel honored that you're spending your Friday night with me. I'm not advocating. I will not condone. I will not say by any means necessary none of that stuff because there's a reason why it was said a certain way. Rioting is not the answer. Beating up somebody because you think that they're one of them, whatever them may be, is prejudicial thinking. Okay, going out there and blaming a person of the same race as a person that's being defended for being accused of a crime is thinking like the criminal. Rioting and beating someone up in honor of something is not honoring that person whatsoever. it's not going to get you any answers. It's certainly not going to get you any real results. And it's not going to let you look any better to society than they already think you look now. And by they, I mean the group of people that decided to take it upon themselves to be racist and be ignorant in it, to have prejudices that make no sense and cause harm with it. If that's what you choose to be like, then go ahead and riot. Because that's exactly what you'll be doing.
Yeah. It's not going to be a positive outcome. You can best believe that. It's not going to be a positive outcome on that. You know, you can't straighten out a negative with another negative. That's not going to work.
Nope. The eye for an eye is not going to work. The two wrong situation is not going to work.
Correct.
It's not going to work. So we have to think of a different way to do it, because the best way to fight somebody is to be successful at something. So it's really a sad situation to see what's going on the way it is. It's really sad to see everybody is so angry because of the blatant stuff that we're seeing, and it is a sad thing that that's what we're focused on right now. That's what we have to look at and watch. And I know that a lot of us are sitting back just feeling helpless and feeling completely ticked off, because it's like we can see what's happening. Anybody with like, what is it Lou said last night? Stevie Wonder can see it.
Yeah.
Ray Charles could see if he was alive. But the point is that we still have to think of a way to beat the ignorance. We have to beat the ignorance. We have to rise above the stupidity. And as angry as we may be about what we're seeing, we have to handle it different, and we've got to be a different person. So how do we do that? And I'll start by saying, you cannot look at every Caucasian person and call them a George Zimmerman. Meanwhile, all of you Caucasians can't look at every black person with a hoodie and think that we're starting trouble.
Right.
Or think that we're all about riots. So if everybody will start looking at each other as the individual you met or you're speaking to, then you can start having the diverse type of thinking you should be having in the first place. Meaning everybody's entitled to be judged on their individuality.
Yes.
Okay, I need to take a break here. I'm going to take a break with R. Kelly's The World's Greatest. There's a reason for that. That's for my team listeners out there. This is for you. Okay, take a listen to what he's saying and rise above it, okay? I'll be back in four. Thanks for hanging with me, Ms. Deacon Williams.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I am a hero. stand up tall, look them in the face and say, from that star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high, hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest, and I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's up against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest.
The rain of life, my rain of
love. I will
rain, and the world will know
that
I
came. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The stars will shine a light, and we'll have the
sun
in me. Me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not
stopping
up, I'm not
stopping up,
because
I made it.
I'm the world's greatest.
Oh, man.
Don't you never give up, no. Strive, no. Never give up.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome back, people, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. I want to thank Deacon Bloody Williams for stopping by. He always has something insightful to say, and he's doing big things out there in Toledo, Ohio, getting involved with a lot of, you know, youth activities and trying to keep a difference, a positive difference in his neighborhood. I want to also thank our panelists from the last 2 days, Lou Mason in Flint, Michigan, our new guy, Terrence Thompson in Georgia, formerly from Flint. We have LaShonda and Marlon Mosley out in Flint, Michigan. Lady Diamond and Lane Yezes out here in New York City. Monster Miles. I want to thank Nisi and Darlene out in Brooklyn, New York. Thanks all of you for joining in this week and contributing to our discussion about this trial. We do have a little bit of time left. This is a very sensitive and controversial case. I'm not sure if the controversy is simply because of the fact that there's a race issue involved. That I believe the controversy is more on the blatancy of it. How it's being flaunted in your face and how the defense attorney's daughter can make such crazy, insensitive pictures and remarks behind it, and it doesn't say much for our upbringing if you want to go there. Just simply dismissing her account or deleting her account is not good enough. She already rang the bell. How would that factor in to us trying to believe that this person that he's defending, is indeed somebody that's worth giving the benefit of the doubt to? That's a little sad. So tonight's topic is focusing on how does this trial affect race relations. Well, I'm sure that there's a lot more heated tones between people now, a little more heated discussions between blacks and whites, and I'm praying that that's not the case. I'm sure everybody is hanging on this trial's every word to see how this verdict is going to go. And prayerfully, it's not to see how it's going to go so that you can wish it could go bad, so you can find a way to go out there and incite some bad thing, because, sorry, that's not going to make the case any better. It's not going to bring Trayvon back, and it's not going to honor his death. But getting out there and showing that his death stood for something, and giving his parents a little bit of hope that her son's death, while a tragic one, at least maybe something can come from it by way of progress. Sorry, not that we're trying to say that that he had to be a sacrifice, that we should appreciate that he was a sacrifice. No. I'm a mom. I wouldn't want any of that to ever be something I have to be happy with. But if all he's going to be is another dead black child at the hands of some white racist person, and then we go out there and make ourselves look as ignorant as that person is, then I don't think that we're making much difference or making anything happen that's going to do anything but bring us back into courtrooms with yet more black youth being offenders. Teens, pick up your rights to vote and follow them. Follow your candidates. Follow up on your candidates. Get out there and have laws repealed. Write, learn, stay in school and become something. Maybe the lawyers in the world right now that'll make the difference, and you can stand for what you don't like right now. Maybe what you're seeing about this case you should take as a lesson to be an advocate for people who suffered in that, or to be the lawyer that can make a difference in the case. That's how we fight the ignorance. That's how we stop judging everybody by the one few bad apples in their bunch. That's how we stop being judged as the one few apples in our bunch. This country was built on cultural diversities and respect of freedoms and liberties to be who you are. Why on earth does that come with the price now, when we're supposed to be a lot more evolutionized? This is a sad and tragic situation. It's an enraging situation, yes, but we need to take the energy that comes with that rage and do something that's going to make a real difference. And hit those ignorant people where it hurts, in their pockets and in their freedoms. The freedom that they had in executing people and in their racist hatreds. Band for stricter laws against race and hate crimes. Band together for that. But do not band together by making people think that all we know how to do is to get angry and toss bottles and light fires and beat people up. Because that's exactly what that racist did when he ran out of his house to go follow Trayvon Martin down the road. So how would we be any better if we rioted? Don't look at your neighbor as a George Zimmerman, and the neighbors don't look at us as whatever it is you think we are. Start looking at each other as the people that's in front of them. And if that person happens to have some bad characteristics on their own merit, then by all means, dislike them for that. But at least it was something they did, not a blanket message, not a blanket judgment, not a guilty by association judgment. I'm going to leave you out here with Charlie Wilson's My Love Is All I Have. We will have one more discussion panel on this trial come Monday. The Spread Your Wings showcase will be displayed tomorrow. Your times will be posted along with the Soap Talk Saturday. I thank all of you who were on the market page that were understanding about being preempted tonight. But you know that I'm not going to let that happen. We are going to continue to fight our fight for positivity, to fight our fight for change, to fight our fight for empowerment. We're going to continue to do what we can to help educate each other and empower each other, to be able to fight those fights the right way. That is our goal, and it's not going to change until we are no longer allowed to be here. Until then, everybody, I will see you Monday. Be blessed. Be a blessing to somebody. Make a difference in your neighborhood. Be positive. And I'll see you back here on Monday. Those of you that want to be back, tomorrow I'll be here for the Spread Your Wings Showcase and Soap Talk Saturday, and I will be posting those times. So stay updated. Here's Mr. Charlie Wilson with My Love Is All I Have. See you tomorrow, folks.
Hello, do you have a minute? I noticed you from across the room. Excuse me, miss, don't take this wrong. I couldn't resist that smile and those beautiful eyes. I can see that you wear fancy clothes and drive a fancy car. Your hair did and your nails done, looking like a superstar. Can I take you out to dinner, baby? 'Cause there's something that I wanna say to you. Happy.
bank account is seven figures. And I may not have a sailboat and a big old mansion, oh no. But I do know how to love you, baby. And in my own way, in my own way, I'm rich as hell. I really hope that none of this don't matter. And I hope that you don't judge a man by his status. And I was wondering if you and I could get together and know each other better. And I promise you, I'll give my all and make my heart your passion.